Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, it's iPhone delivery day. If you're out there and you spent your money on an iPhone 10, you are sitting with bated breath waiting for the UPS man, not the USPS man, as Doc is, because that's tomorrow for him now because it's USPS. Oh, man. But our compadres, our five superheroes that are here to discuss Mac, are waiting because during the show, it is exceptionally likely that in the next few minutes, Adam Christensen will get his iPhone 10.
Yeah, the guy just got off the freeway. I'm watching UPS has a live delivery update. I see the truck.
Dude, it's what's your pulse rate?
Within a half a mile.
What's your pulse rate? Look at your watch. What's your pulse rate?
It's crazy. I'm not obsessing, though. No, really,
you've got to be. Come on, look. I mean,
you've got to be. Stop lying. Look at the watch. What's it say?
I don't like the 10. I'm not going to buy the 10. But new tech is new tech, mate. And if you've bought it and you want it, you've got to have an elevated pulse rate. Otherwise, you're not alive.
Yeah. No, I'm super excited. I posted a picture on Twitter earlier. I now know what the dog feels like because every truck that runs by, I'm like, is that him?
You're like barking?
I was going to say, if Adam doesn't come back, it's because he's chasing it.
Well, I'm not gonna do a Katie Floyd.
So where is
what that means?
We need UPS update. I'll do a logo for this that will flash in the bottom left corner. Where's UPS update? Where's UPS man right now?
He just got off the freeway. It hasn't moved in a while. This has happened before. So I look.
He's at Starbucks.
He is by the Starbucks. He's at the commercial area, so he's probably doing some of the commercial deliveries.
Right, so if he comes to the door during the show, you've got to see if you can get him in to come and talk on the podcast. Tell us how many deliveries he's got today and if it's busy or not. He'll be our official UPS spokesman, and then he'll be unemployed the day after. next to him, it's Doc. Dude, what on earth? You're getting your iPhone 10 via USPS on a Saturday.
Bruh, you have no idea. Like, when I first noticed the shipping notification that it came in and said that it was the United States Postal Service, initially I was a tad bit happy. And the reason for that is the Postal Service has been bleeding money hand over fist since all of us gave up writing real letters, since all of us do everything electronically. So they've been working super hard to try to get some different revenue streams coming in. So I'm sure they politicked, you know, AT&T and a bunch of other guys to allow them to do some help this year so they can get some money. And they probably gave them a fantastic rate. Really cool if you have your logistics together and you've done iPhone before. But if you haven't, don't take it on and have my iPhone sat in Cali somewhere while everybody else in Hawaii through the other forces are getting their stuff. And also, like Adam said, with UPS and FedEx, through an app that's out of the UK, actually, something called FlightAware, you can actually track the UPS planes and the FedEx planes. So you know where your stuff is in the sky coming from, you know, China to here to everything. But post office, they got their own jets, too, but they don't tell FlightAware.
I've got two stories in my head. The first one is I remember watching Castaway and Tom Hanks ripping open the parcel and complaining at the amount of hours that it had taken for FedEx to send this clock over to him, 29 hours, whatever it was, and going any slower in with the US Postal Service. And the other story is I did work for a firm who took me to Baltimore to film the building that they'd built for the US Postal Service in Baltimore. And we stood there and we're looking around this place. And the guy's like, yeah, this is our showcase site. This is where we bring all our customers. And there's a guy next to me who is, this company made conveyors. There's a guy next to me who sat on the floor picking up the parcels that have fallen off the conveyor and throwing them back on the conveyor. That's all he did. He just squatted down. It was like he was in Vietnam or something like that. Just, you know, this. And I bet you that's significantly further ahead than it was in Baltimore. But it was ridiculous.
That's funny. I saw a video once about Royal Post. It's supposed to be pretty good. Are you guys still pretty excellent at that, or has it fallen off at all?
They're one of my customers, so I can't say anything.
There you go.
But they're awesome. They're pretty awesome, I have to say.
Yeah, it looked like clockwork. The video that I saw, I don't know if it was a puff piece or whatever, but it was on one of these How It's Made things, and they were showing a Royal Post, and it was like clockwork.
No, I don't think I'm going to get into trouble for saying it's not clockwork, but actually the technology that's behind the Royal Mail is actually really, really good. I mean, I would say that they're not bad. They're well above Yodel in this country, but they're not quite up to DPD standards. But they're getting there. They're much better, yeah. Beneath him, it's Patrice. How's your week off been, dude?
It has been awesome so far. I was at the Apple store this morning. Didn't pick up an iPhone. I mean, there were like 150, 200 people in front of me, so zero chance of getting an iPhone. But it still was fun. It was the first time for me to stand in line at all of that.
But you didn't stand in line, though, did you?
I did.
Oh, right, okay. But they just said no,
you
first
five.
Yeah, it's basically, they basically told us, I mean, the phones were gone in like, I don't know, 2 minutes, and they basically told us, okay, you could just leave.
So you were going to buy one, you were going to buy one, weren't you?
If they had one, I might have bought one. I was there to, also, I mean, I wanted to have this experience of standing in line and all of that, and I also wanted to get my iPhone checked out, which I didn't because they told me, you have to wait an hour and a half until we fully open the store to do that. And I said, okay, nope, not going to do that.
So I left. Another person who said, no, I'm not getting one, and then turned up in line. Unreal.
Yep.
next to him, Chuck Joyner, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing good, Ewan. It's great to see you.
Now, I feel so bad because the last time you were on the show, I completely cocked up the audio connections and made you late back off lunch. We've late started here as well, and your iPhone 10 is probably going to go to work, isn't it? And not,
oh, yeah.
Not to the house.
Oh, yeah.
So,
but that way I don't have to interrupt the show or anything, or maybe miss it. So,
oh, God, I feel so humbled that you think of us first when we don't even think of ourselves first.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's definitely something I'm anxious to get my hands on.
I'm not gonna rain on anyone's parade today. If you're looking forward to your iPhone 10, good luck to you is what I say. I'm just sick and tired of the stories that are out there because they're either just like so. I mean, Rennie Ritchie nearly had a putty more on his review of the iPhone 10. It was unreal. And then there's other people going, "Oh, Apple's doomed because the iPhone 10 shit." And I'm not doing either end of that spectrum. And finally, Mr. James Rickard and. Where's William gone?
He likes to sit on the floor.
I'm still here.
Yeah, well, okay, if you weren't watching the pre-show, and I don't know we were streaming at the time, Will's chair broke. So, can you turn your... James, turn the camera around so we can at least see the top of Will's head. There he is. There's Will shouting from the other side of the room. Don't do anything with those. Get that hand away from there, James. There's Will sat there throwing a strop because his chair broke.
I'm not throwing a strop.
I've got him a new one.
Think to that chair.
Come and sit on the chair, William, and join in. Otherwise, now William's done the. If you haven't heard, Will Green has done the news show all week.
I did a good job as well, I did.
You've awesome. Done an excellent job, mate. There was a few more ums and ers today.
Yes.
But perfect. I would say that overall, certainly Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday were grade A mates. Kyle would have been shaking in his boots.
Yeah.
It was a job well done, mate. Oh, you just called me a name. I beat you. Oh, right, sod you then. The week in Apple, what's gone on, what's been happening? iPhone 10 date.
I don't know, I didn't even get anything then.
Yeah, I
got to say. They were spoken for 10 minutes. We're like, all right, moving on.
What do you want to say then, Will? Get a microphone. Lean into James's ear, whisper some sweet nothings to us.
Can't hear me.
No, you need to talk into James's ear.
Am I?
You need to talk into James's ear. Go on, whisper it to James and then we'll all hear it.
What was wrong with today? I thought today was pretty good.
There was a lot. Sharon said they have been good all week, but there was a lot more ums and ers today.
Ooh.
That was Sharon's comment, not mine, mate. So I know you believe Sharon more than you believe me.
Yeah. Oh, I thought today was my best. I don't know. Anyway,
it's been great all week, mate. It's been great. I just said it's been great all week.
It has been great. My iPhone comes 13th of November. Yay!
Were you just not on time, or is that because rural France doesn't catch up till then?
I was one of those people who had their Mac open and their iPhone open at the same time, and you're hitting refresh on both. And the Mac thing went through, so by my surprise, when it was like 5 minutes past 8 or 9 over here. And and it just said 13th of November. Well done.
You're stuck
on. Yeah, same here.
You're stuck on daylight French time.
Yeah, oh no, I'm with you. We all moved back an hour, was it? Yeah.
It's almost Hawaiian. It's like, yeah, it's ready for immediate delivery. Next week, 10 days. Is that long enough now? Can I move on or not?
That's fine, you can move
okay,
on.
Okay, thanks, mate. The Week in Apple. Doc eating crisps. We've eaten, me and Muller bought a packet of Doritos. They were good. Have we still not got it, Adam? Any update?
He's still in that commercial mall area, so... He's
at Starbucks.
He's at Starbucks. Yeah, he stopped for breakfast. Now he's been to Denny's. Now he's into Starbucks, getting a latte. He's joining the queue at Apple to buy an iPhone. Big queues, though. I mean, the one thing that is good to say is that the store is back, is it not, chaps?
I'm excited about that. That's probably the most exciting thing I am about this launch, is that there's lines again, and people are at the store, and there's excitement. I thanked Angela this morning for it. I'm not there this time around, but it's nice to know that that's coming back.
Well, do you think Angela got a slap, though?
A slap? For what?
For kind of being down on the store thing.
I think they were revamping the program, and they were just kind of in a transition phase. They wanted to get the whole town center thing.
Yeah.
Up and running, and before they brought that back, I think I'm guessing that's what it was. In hindsight, now that's what it seems like they did, is they were doing a whole, you know, building new stores, redesigning the whole thing, redesigning the experience from the ground up, and they just didn't want probably the distraction through the last couple of launches. That's how it feels to me, because I mean, immediately now that they're through that, you know, it's like, here we are, we're gonna have in-store stock on launch day, you know, come queue up.
No, I think it's awesome.
I don't think so, to be honest. I don't think so. I think they really wanted to have this different experience. They thought that the store, the pre-order thing is the future. And, well, they saw the results. They saw that people disagreed with it. And they said, okay, that's good. And people were still queuing up. I mean, it wasn't the huge crowds that we're seeing this time. But, I mean, people were still queuing up. So they said, okay, let's go back to it. Because, I mean... Process-wise, I don't think anything has changed. It's the same process how they handle everything. So they didn't revamp anything in the queue process, whatever.
There are always going to be people though that want to queue up that don't want to get up, or maybe that they haven't made up their mind without, you know, seeing all the all the publicity and all the tech press go crazy over it until then. So. I'm delighted that I don't have to go and queue up, because that pretty much
was
the better part of a day.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm getting a line update from Jerome in Hawaii right now. Hold on.
Oh, so
holy God, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, but where is he in the line?
He's pretty far ahead.
He's pretty far. Hey, wait, can you guys see that? Jerome, I'm holding up the camera to the screen, so they can kind of see.
Can we put his audio on so we can hear him more?
From my phone?
Yeah, just...
Oh, yeah, I got to take the headpiece out. Hold on, Jerome.
Actually, we got...
There you go.
We got people from Germany and the UK here, too, so...
Oh, hey, tell them that they're on TV in Germany and the UK right now.
Tell them they're on British... Find someone from Britain. So they're recording them. Find someone from Britain.
Let me walk over to the other side.
Doc, tell him to find someone from Britain.
Hey, Jerome.
Yep.
You and said talk to the guy from Britain. Damn it, camera, stop trying to refocus.
Yeah, I think he goes through the back now, too. So they're about to start the pre-orders.
That queue's pretty relaxed, I have to say.
It's Hawaii, dude. What do you want? Yeah. Everybody's on vacation or sipping Mai Tais at 6 in the morning.
So where's the British guy? We need the British guy.
That's true.
You and said, where's the British guy? We got to keep this relevant.
We got to talk to the British guy.
Where's the British guy?
Yeah.
What's his name?
For the record, I haven't come over from the UK just to buy the iPhone.
Okay. Tell him where's he from?
Tell him he's live on the British Tech Network.
Just south of
London. Where's he from?
South of London.
That's not an area south of London. We're talking to actual British people. You can. There you go.
Yeah, well,
well, the people that you're talking to, you is broadcasting from Birmingham. I know it's not a cool spot, but that's where he's at. It's not Manchester or anything. You have any questions?
Tell him he's live on BTN.
Oh, Jerome told him that already.
All right, okay. So he hasn't come over from the UK for it.
Let me go to the front real quick.
Why did he buy it? It's an ugly phone. No, sorry, that just slipped out. I didn't mean to say that, though. Sorry, that was like a Tourette's thing. So sorry.
That's not going to get worse.
All right, let me know when you get your phone.
Yeah,
do a live unboxing and dropping in Waikiki.
Well, we do the both. We do a live online unboxing, and we do a live home unboxing with Adam.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, we've never had a dual unboxing before. That's going to be so
Hey, we can do. Can we do Mac Show Saturday edition?
You can send us a video, and we'll add it in. There you go.
Oh my God. I just got an update that said it landed in Honolulu at the sort facility, which is oddly strange because the sort facility is roughly about, say, 4 kilometers from my house. I could easily go get it, but you can't because they don't let you do that at the federal place the way like FedEx UPS does.
Dude, were you in Vietnam or something?
If you know anything about like the way we work in Hawaii, they'll be going on break about 8 times before it even gets out of the truck.
I don't know what my guy's been doing all morning. He hasn't moved.
Based on the length of time, it's where
he's maybe been. He had curry. He's still in the loo. That's you and putting the curry on everyone, so there's that.
He's in the thunder bucket.
That's the one. That's the best euphemism I've ever heard, the thunder bucket. I heard that recently and I was crying. That's like my favorite one.
Now, you've got to say that there is no question in a lot of people's minds, actually, that this is a fugly phone. It just is.
I disagree.
I disagree.
But I don't disagree, but I will say this. I was born ugly. My mom loves the shit out of me until she passed away. So that doesn't matter. Like the how it looks is not the point. It's a functionality thing. So, I drive an i3 now, ugliest car in the planet, my favorite car.
As usual, you guys never let me finish. But according to iFixit, and I've got to agree, on the inside, that is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I have wood looking at that picture right now.
Yep.
That is an engineering thing of beauty. Steve Jobs would approve of the insides of that, and that is saying something.
And they had a picture of a comparison to the first iPhone, and I mean, just look at how ugly the first iPhone looked like.
Yeah, no, we showed that a bit last week, didn't we, the 128. Yeah. But you've got to look at that, and the intricacy with which all of the parts are identified there, and the way that they kind of bend and flow around each other to I just think that is the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen in my life.
You know, one of the things that really impresses me about the internals of the phone, and this is going to sound dumb, but this is also true with a lot of the internals on the Mac. Apple purposely puts this matte black everywhere because there are light moving around because of the screen, because of the camera and things like that. So in order to stop them from interfering with each other, they, instead of Kapton tape, which is normal, Kapton tape is kind of orangey like this pill bottle here, for people at home that never did that before. Or CTO filter in the photography world, they do such a great job of stopping all the light internally from interfering with other light somewhere else, and that makes the sensors work better and the cameras work better. Even something as simple as some of the notebooks on the market, their webcams suck because the display light leaks into the webcam. I mean, we've all talked to somebody on Skype using their built-in webcam on their HP. You know, and it's like all you guys had to do was cover it with matte black plastic and that would have solved that problem. You know, kind of like the way we do what's the word, flagging in video. And a lot of companies don't do it. It's such a simple thing, but it totally changes the user experience.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, I can say it's an ugly phone and it's my opinion entirely and no one else's. But I do. You can't fault Apple in terms of functionality and the fact that it doesn't do shonky crap like that ever.
You know what I'm a little curious about? Okay, so TechRadar did a twin test and they weren't able to unlock the phone. And those two guys look almost perfectly alike. Then Mashable did a twin test and two of the twins looked as much like twins as me and Adam. And then the other twins were pretty alike. and then they both set it open, but they weren't showing the phone at the time, right? So I'm like wondering, like, who's fudging what? Because the Tech Radar guys, they were showing you the phone and they were doing it, and they did a sort of a more thorough test, and the guys actually looked, of the three sets of twins that I saw in the twin test, they looked the most alike, and they weren't able to do it, but yet the Mashable guys with the twin were, say, kind of look alike, and they said that they opened it. So I think, you know, like what Ewan was saying earlier, the amount of anecdotal stories that came out, it's like partially link baiting, click baiting. Some guys seem to be telling the truth, but admitted they didn't have enough time to play with it, so don't hold them to anything. Other guys were coming out like, this is the word of Jesus, so the phone sucks. I mean, like, that part of the coverage is irritating.
Those are non-stories, though, because it's just like Apple already said, it would fail the twin test. So,
yeah,
you know, and it also fails the, hey, I've had a horrible disfiguration instantly, or I'm putting on a fake mustache test. All of those things are things that Apple said, look, it's not going to do that. It can handle facial changes if they happen gradually over time because it continues
learning.
But yeah.
Yeah, they said as much.
Yeah, it's learning.
Well, I forget, I saw a one yesterday, and it was triplets. And she also made a latex mask of her own face. And obviously the latex mask failed because obviously they put that based on somebody else. The triplets did work. It did unlock it.
Yeah, but they said that I've got to be with Adam totally. I'm the first to criticise Apple if there's an issue, but I will back him at 100%. They told you from the start, if you've got near identical twins, this is not going to be totally secure. So,
right. It's a non-story. I don't know why people are testing this.
They're
just proving.
They got millions of views, too. That's the part that's so funny, because if you missed Apple saying it, I don't know. It's just kind of hilarious to me.
The thing you need to do is like, so there's like me and, like you said, me and Doc, and it unlocks for both of us. You got an issue then.
Because I'm much better looking.
Me and Paul Hollywood. You know, if it unlocks for me and unlocks for Paul Hollywood, then you've got an issue.
I confess, MacGeek is bringing up the thing that I more want to get into once I have mine, and that's everybody. And again, I'm with you, Ewan. The early stories I'm a little bit hesitant about because they're all saying, well, Face ID is better, instantly better than Touch ID.
A lot of people saying it's slower, isn't it?
I'm still not convinced. Well, and they're doing timing tests, and, you know, it's all, like, kind of hearsay and inconclusive. Like it's a hard thing to test, and I think the real test comes when you're using it in daily use for an extended period of time. I don't think you can spend 10 minutes with it and come to the kinds of conclusions that a lot of people are coming to.
Yeah.
Adam, you bring up a good point, because one of the things that a lot of the guys that had the 24-hour reviews, I guess, if I'm, again, please correct me if I'm saying this wrong. If the Face ID is constantly learning, then on the first day, say the first week maybe, it's supposed to be a little slower as it's learning. But as like Siri, for instance, should it get faster as it knows your, you know, outer sexiness even better, right? Is that part of the tech?
I wouldn't say so. I think the speed will not improve. What might improve is the detection rate, so whether it matches or not. So less.
Isn't that basically still speed?
No, because I mean the speed of the login is probably going to stay the same because it has to do the same calculations every time, and I don't think more data will speed that up. So I think it's more about. As I said, accuracy.
At the end of the day, we all just need to get our hands on it and play with it. I mean, you know, the point someone made earlier, you know, that this is a 10-second review. Somebody has this for a couple hours and decides they want to get out and be first. Those are, I mean, they're not useless, but they're not indicative. And we're all sitting here speculating, and none of us have it in our hands.
No.
And what really annoys me is those people that then call that a review and say, I mean, I've had it for 10 minutes, and here's my review. This is maybe a first look or something, but it's not a proper review.
Right. And a lot of guys did say, okay, this is going to be very limited review, but I'll give you just my basic thing. Don't take any of this to heart. The CNET guy said it that way. The Tech Radar guy said it that way. A couple of guys said it that way. But there's other guys that just go out there like, oh, I'm doing my review. And I was like, yeah, no.
Yeah, but aren't we splitting hairs a little bit? Isn't it part of it on us that if you see this kind of thing and you know that they just got seeded with iPhones, because nobody's been seeded outside of Apple with iPhones for weeks. So, you know, aren't we giving them too much credence already and in fact giving them airtime here, you know? That
yes, but the sad part is that we know better. So we know how to sort of curate the BS, but the average person doesn't know how to curate the BS, and then the average people are the ones that go around and repeat the stuff that they heard from those guys that become the vernacular.
I think the value of talking about it here is again bringing the perspective, because I don't think that there's no value in this stuff. I mean, these are first look kind of opinions, and people do want to know about that. I want to know about that stuff. I want to know people's initial first impressions. But, you know, being smart enough to step back from that and go, okay, you know, they haven't had a lot of time with this. They're making, in some cases, like real broad statements about something that hasn't had time spent with it. I think that's a little bit disingenuous, and we need to also point that out and say it's okay that their immediate impression is, hey, this is better than Face ID, and that's, I'm excited to hear about, or better than Touch ID. And I'm excited to hear about that. I'm excited to hear about things like, yeah, it is working at off angles, and yes, it does seem like it's a little bit more efficient process. But, you know, I take all that with a grain of salt at the same time. It's like, okay, until I actually have it in my hands and have some significant time to play with it, you know, I'm not going to draw any conclusions about it, and I'm still going to remain a little bit skeptical.
I think let's just go back a little bit, because it's nice on the inside. Deep Pan says clearly it has a lovely personality, and I'm being very stupid in judging. I Confess My Geek says Face ID works well for me. He's just got his this morning. Right. Loving the Face ID. It works instead of ID Touch ID. Ruata says the biggest disappointment for me so far is the number of apps which have not been optimized for the screen size. That is an issue, because they've had it for a while to know what it is. David says, I how much do you need? 3.3 of a second or 0.5 of a second? But I mean, I go back to the difference between me having a 6 and a 7, and my 6 to 7, when I got the 7 in my hands and it was like instant when it opened when I touched the screen. Yep. There's a little bit of that. Is the problem is, why do I want to go back? Because when I look back, and when I try and open Sharon's phone by mistake, which is my old 6, I put my thumb on it, and it's, oh, come on, you know? And I know before it even asks me for a passcode that it's her phone and not mine, because I know it's not that responsive. It doesn't do it instantly. Yep.
Well, they've got to sell a new iPhone XS2, haven't they? So, quicker FaceTime ID.
Yes. I lost that because we lost the start of the statement. Sorry, mate.
I said it's a reason to buy the iPhone X2. It's a feature, faster ID.
Are they going to do
faster Face ID recognition?
I want them to do a Fireball XL5.
Triple X.
An iPhone XL5. That's the one I want. What's the UPS update, Adam?
He's moved out of the commercial area, but he's moved a little bit further away. So he's over across the way in the on the other side, and looks like the residential area.
How far away?
Left turns only.
Like a mile or?
Probably less than a mile.
Because that could be like a thousand stops.
Yeah, about 3/4 of a mile.
Okay, so we need to spin it out until he comes. Definitely. Or Chuck has to leave.
Oh, wait, you seeded me to check an update. It is now at the facility at 96813. So it is roughly 2.5 blocks away from me.
And you can't get it?
Probably not.
That's shit, isn't it? That's so
funny. Well, I would have to leave right now before they put it on the truck. And just sit out. Their post office opens at 7:30. They'll probably leave before 7:30.
They still wouldn't give it you, because it's federal, isn't it? It's like they'd shoot you if you went near them.
Pretty much, especially me.
Your USPS are armed.
I'm going to tell them that my name is Colonel Steve Zodiac, and then let me in there. Since you brought it up.
Get my badge. According to Apple, Apple says that the face with tears of joy is the most popular emoji in the United States among English speakers. So wow. There you go.
You know why? We're talking about the president.
So Mexicans clearly don't use it. Maybe they use the Day of the Dead one that's further along there. That's because it's the weekend for them, isn't it?
But, I use that one for the Oakland Raiders.
Why do I need this statistic?
It's really weird, but this whole week they've been talking about the stupid cheeseburger emoji thing. So people here have gone full on Japanese when it comes to using emojis. We use it for every damn thing.
I think this story is also coming up now because of the timing of the iOS 11.1 update, which added a bunch of new emoji.
Is it emoji or emojis? That's a great,
it's emoji.
That is a great question.
It's emoji. Trust me.
Right.
Okay. I'm the only Japanese speaker here.
So anyone who put emojis, they're in deep put with you. It's like karaoke.
Oh my god, dude, it's so funny. I had a nice fight with one of my friends about the iPhone 10, and I was like, bro, it's an X. He's like, no. And I was like, look, I'm going to take you to a video by the CEO and let Tim say it. Then I showed him the, the AP, you know, AP style guide. I'm a subscriber to that. So I showed him AP style guide. I showed him the CEO. He still wants to say it's a 10. And I'm like, no. So he goes, well, what if they come out and they say that the next phone is, I forgot what he said, like an 11, or what happened to the 9? I'm like, Windows skipped a 9. Why can't Apple skip a 9? You know, it was just kind of funny. So we have a bet, and I have a recorded like conversation about the bet. That if they ever switch to calling it a 10, then I owe them freaking like $300.
Like a Generation X thing?
The X is, we've been iOS, you know, nobody wanted to call it OS X for how long, right? Mm-hmm. So it's 10. It's just plain 10. And he just insisted that it was X. And I'm like, no, but I don't know why.
I think you started that story the other way around. But okay.
Yeah, no. See, I messed it up myself because it's too funny. But I never say X. I always say 10, just because of years of doing it as a you know, Mac user.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is about the iPhone, but I still keep calling it X.
Okay.
I think the consumer popularity will force Apple to change it, and it's going to irritate those of us old school Mac people.
Now, the other thing I was going to talk about is that we all purchased the iPhone 10 and X 10, and in the UK it's £200 for Apple Care on it, which is a little bit steep, I think, for something.
Same for us.
Yeah,
well, I think that's here $200. Yeah.
$200. Now, the thing is, I did a bit of research this week, right? If you want to get insurance for a £1,000 item. Mm-hmm. I would guess how much it costs you.
Through the cell phone store, it's $10 a month.
Chuck would know.
£2.80 a month.
Hey, actuary.
Yeah.
Hook us up.
Right. Chuck, give us the lowdown, man.
I don't know. I guess, you know, it's like anything else. The more expensive it is, the more that you're going to pay for the insurance. And don't forget, this is an all-glass iPhone now. And so the likelihood of issues happening is a lot greater. So, you know, I paid it. I'll say up front, I paid it just because it's, I hope nothing happens, but I've dropped my phone, and happily I've always been able to escape with no damage. But, you know, right. The time is coming. So for the first time, I've really started to pay attention early to the cases and make sure that I have something, even if it's just a cheap case off of Amazon, until we see, you know, a lot more develop. But this one, I'm going to be a little extra careful with, at least at the start. You know how it is. You know, you're hanging on to it for the first couple of weeks, like, oh my god, I got to be careful. And then you start to use it, and you just roll in. So,
I just want to point out, and I don't think this is a coincidence, right? I think I might be onto something here. Is that if you take that amount of money and you divide it by 3 years, it's it's £66. And 66 pence, all the sixes. This phone is the work of the devil.
You know, here's what's funny. I've always bought Apple Care on the phone just because. just seems like the thing to do. And only part of it is because when I worked as a genius, when we were taking into consideration whether we should just straight swap something without going into much arguing or do the triage and do whatever, if it's under AppleCare, many a times we would, now I don't know if these policies are still true, but we would take the idea that if it's under AppleCare, there will be somebody that's going to pay for these parts. It's not going to come out of our store budget because AppleCare covers that in that particular case. So we were more likely to give someone a full replacement when they're under AppleCare because it's not going to come out of our internal budgets, of which we get bonuses and whatever based on it. So I've always bought AppleCare for phones and laptops, not really for desktops, whatever's, but because that, you know, it never really moved. Physical damage is not a problem. Any internal stuff, I can fix it myself. This time, when I was under the pressure of trying to get my phone ordered, I put the AT&T insurance and not the AppleCare Plus. The day that I get my phone tomorrow, I will run to AT&T and give them the finger, tell them, keep your insurance, and then pay the $200 for the AppleCare. And here's why. I thought on my 7 Plus, I didn't buy AppleCare. I thought, I remember being kind of like tight with the money because of the laser thing. And just a week ago, coming home from Japan, it's not going to focus. I have a tiny little dent right here in my focus camera. Anyway, I have a tiny little dent. It's almost unseeable right here on my 7 Plus. And I was panicking because as I was looking it up, it's $170 to fix. When I took my iMac in to get fixed, I looked at the screen of stuff I have under AppleCare at the Apple Store, and it says, hey, your 7 Plus is AppleCare Plus. I didn't even know. I forgot. It's going to cost me $25 to get this replaced, or $29 to get this replaced, and not $170. So for the first time in the how many phones, I'm actually going to get my money's worth out of AppleCare. Because I'm just not accustomed to dropping my phone, and I actually didn't drop it this time. Some stupid lady in the airport knocked it out of my hand. But it, beside the point, I think AppleCare is worth it. I have discovered through research, do not buy the carrier insurance unless it's the only way you can afford it, because the deductible and carrier insurance for this phone is almost $300. That's insanity.
I just got a problem with the fact that for a £900 phone here, compared to an £1,100 phone, it's gone from £99 to £199.
Part of it's the new display is a much, and that's the most likely thing that people are going to break. I think that part alone is, I want to say, $250.
I think Ewan always bitches at Apple for money grabbing, and I always tell Ewan that he's high. In this case, Ewan is 100% sober. This is insurance for all intents and purposes in a lot of situations. Some of the premiums are unnecessarily high. If you base off of a standard car insurance, my car insurance for a $50,000 car does not come out almost as much as this. Like, my annual insurance payment on my car is like $600. It's a $50,000 car, and that includes me hurting myself and going to the hospital or injuring someone else. Yeah. We're talking about a phone with a 30% insurance. Okay, let me adjust that, 24 and some change. Still, I think Ewan is right in this particular case. That insurance rate is a tad bit high. What I would ask everyone, and I don't know how this works in the UK, I know that for me, I'm going to call Allstate and say, are we under the impression that my Allstate homeowners policy and my business policy cover this phone? And if they say, yeah, then I'm not going to even buy AppleCare because I can just claim it at Allstate.
Okay, so there's a couple things about that. First, start off with something Bob Beach points out in the chat, which is absolutely accurate. Another reason why they can do this is most people aren't going to pay for the AppleCare outright. It's going to be rolled into their upgrade program, which is what everybody's doing, and they don't see the cost. So it's a hidden cost because the upgrade program, by its nature, you have to get AppleCare. You don't get a choice, and it's rolled into your payment. So if you were paying $40 on your last iPhone, you're paying $50 a month now, and you're going, oh, it's only $10. So big deal. So yeah, they're going to grab some profit. They're going to grab some profit there. The other thing, though, is, you know, yeah, you can get insurance another place, but as was pointed out even by you, Doc, a lot of it's convenience about the experience you're going to have when you walk in with something broken to an Apple store. if you're going with third-party insurance, you've got to file a claim. You've got to pay your, not copay, whatever you know, amount.
Deductible.
Your deductible, thank you, which is probably going to be, I don't know, $500. Mine's, I use high deductible insurance because I want lower premiums. So, I mean, I would pay more to pay my deductible probably than to pay the replacement cost on a phone. So, you know, all these things are factors that you have to, like, roll into this decision as well. So it's not as cut and dry.
I'm not talking about it being cut and dried. I'm talking about being, you know, in the weight of evidence, if you like,
right,
how much it costs for an item. The fact that your phones are covered by your house insurance, certainly in the UK. In the UK, we've got a 2-year warranty for failure of the device, which Apple have to honour. So there's only 1-year extension to that, effectively, for the money. I'm sitting.
But if you had to get a replacement through your house insurance, what does that process look like, and how long does it take for you guys?
Well, here, you're talking
probably weeks, if not months.
I've claimed on
it's
business.
It's not a quick process.
I've claimed on business for me monitors. When we moved to the last studio, one of the curved monitors fell over and smashed the mask, and I wrote them a thing on the Monday morning saying this happened over the weekend, and they wrote back within 20 minutes saying, yes, no problem, buy it and send us the bill.
Well, that's business. Yep. Again.
No, and when I worked for Allstate, we paid normally within 24 hours.
Yeah. I'm sorry, that's insurance companies aren't bastards as much as they used to be. They used to be, and they still are, I'm sure. The old Bob Parr bit from The Incredibles, I'm sure we're on no end, Chuck. But it's less so now. Insurance watchdogs have made a bit of a. You're not Bob Parr, are you, mate?
No.
Well, the other thing that a lot of people forget, like, okay, the outright buyers like myself, I messed up because I used my Visa, and what I should have done was use my MasterCard or the American Express, because the MasterCard and American Express both give really, really incredible extensions for these such of things. And I do remember working at Apple telling many people with a busted computer, if you paid for it with one of those two, give them a call while they stand there in the store. In almost every situation, the American Express person comes on the phone and says, yes, are you the tech? Can you fax me something to prove that this is where we're at? And we go, yeah, we fax them something. And they're like, yeah, give them another one. And then they give us the payment right there on the phone. You know, like, that was American Express experience. MasterCard would normally take like 3 or 4 days. But I think a lot of people, because they're doing what Adam Sandler is doing, the payment program, I don't know if that same, like, extended these membership has this privileges benefits apply. I think you have to buy it outright in order for those to apply.
I think James is being very quiet, but James kind of triggered this discussion because you had a bit of a whinge this week about your MacBook got repaired, didn't it, but on AppleCare despite the C key not working now, but you were saying that it was £1,600 for just a keyboard and a logic board.
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, just have a few issues. It was so upsetting because obviously the space bar stopped working, and then I had a kind of a glitch across the actual screen. So it all went in, and then the first quote was $1,149. And then when it came back, it was $1,425, I think it was. I did post it on the forum. And luckily for me, it was in warranty, but I just couldn't believe that actually they needed to repair everything. And the only original piece of my MacBook was the silver back that went connected it to the computer. So the only thing that's original of this computer is the silver bottom of it. This is the Touch Bar 15-inch MacBook Pro with the top spec graphics card in. And then I've just gone to type in the word unicorn. I typed it in, and probably less than half an hour ago, and then I've typed it again, and the C key stopped working. And it's just like, are you joking? Now, I wouldn't mind, but the C key is pressing down like it would do normally, just like the other keys are, and so it's just not working.
There's no baguette underneath it.
No, I love my Mac stuff. I pay a lot of money for it. You know, this is a top spec machine, and I was without it for a week or so while they did it, or replaced it, you know. And I'm just at the end of a tether with it, to be fair. You know, it's without doubt that I buy a new MacBook every year. I'm very, very lucky to have that opportunity to do that. And this touch bar, I've got nothing nice to say about it at all. Now, if I didn't need the graphics card in it, I would just go with a 13-inch one and save the money. But there you go. I've said it. But
yeah, how many? So when they replaced your computer just now, how many parts did they replace? Did you get a list?
All of them.
Basically,
okay. Stop. That's good.
Let him finish. Go on, James.
As I said, yeah, basically the MacBook Pro Touch Bar now, because obviously you have to turn it upside down, the keys can't be taken out from the front, they have to be taken out to the back, which means obviously you take the logic board and everything else off the back. Because they couldn't get a Touch ID to work correctly once they replaced the keyboard, they end up replacing the whole thing other than the silver plate underneath. So I've effectively, yes, I've got a new computer, but it's got my old back on it.
Here's the reason why I was asking the question. If you look at your paperwork and you count the number of 661 parts, if there's been more than three 661 parts replaced and you're still having a problem, when you go back this next time, you tell them that you want a complete CS replacement, and they'll replace it. That's in the policy. If you in a calendar year, if you have more than three 661 parts replaced, then you are eligible to get an entire brand new machine. And so you just take it back and be like, count the amount of days that you've been out, and if the time that has been out of your service is over 10 days, that's a full replacement. And if you have more than three 661 parts replaced in an X amount of time, that's a full replacement. So I know you're frustrated, but go back and tell them that these two things are too long. I demand this full swap, and they will give you a full swap. But you have to stand firm, but be nice. Don't go in there like me and you and heated and blazing.
Oh, no.
Go in as nice as possible and demand your swap, and you'll get your swap.
You've said that. That's what the most animated James has ever been in his entire life right there, mate.
I was going to say, you know, yeah, I've worked in Apple retail for 10 years. I know that sort of going in a cursing square gets you nowhere, or it's certainly frowned upon. The guys are great. I cannot complain about the service I get at my local Apple store. It's incredible. The thing for me is I'm in France, and it means that I've got to go back to the UK and get that
you're
done.
English, you got five chance to get anything done. In France,
they will send it to you, won't they?
I don't know. Do you know what? I don't know. I really don't know. Probably because I bought it in Birmingham, they might not try and... Because I've obviously upgraded the spec of the graphics card on this machine. It's going to come from China, isn't it? It's going to be able to... Right. It's got to be remanufactured and sent over.
What they'll do is they'll ship it. They'll cross-ship it. So you keep using the busted one, and then you go on the phone and just call them and tell them, even explain them that the travel distance is a pain in the butt, and they'll send it. So it'll be in the air, and then they'll tell you to stick the crappy one and send it back to them. I would seriously call them. I mean, telling us doesn't do shit. So I would just call them and explain the situation. They'll probably send you a brand new one. You never have to leave the house and just wait for it.
You at a point?
Yeah, I want to get to the real story behind this. I mean, this is great that we're helping James with his, you know, his tech support.
No, I think it's good information for listeners there as well, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, the problem is, and I just heard about this a couple weeks ago, because this has become a whole thing online. You know, like Apple had made a big deal about the design of this keyboard, redesigning these butterfly keys and stuff like that. And it just baffles me that part of the QA testing wasn't what happens if a crumb gets under a key. Because essentially, if you look at Apple's support article related to this, this is what they're saying is like, oh, you've got something under the key, you know, hold it at a 75 degree angle and blow dust under it in this methodology. But this has started cropping up on multiple websites. Jonathan Mann even did a very funny video about the Mac a day, or, you know, song a day Mac guy. And so, like, you know, this is obviously a big either design flaw, or there's something bigger behind the story. And I'm bringing it up because if there's other people who are listening that have run into a similar issue and are wondering what's going on, they need to know they're not alone. Like, there's something weird here. But it just baffles me that, you know, like, it's a crumb or something gets under the key and suddenly it's just dead.
How about don't eat and use your computer? That's been a rule of mine for a long time.
That's like the new, that's this year's version of you're holding it wrong.
Yeah.
Like, what about just get one of these?
On their computers, like we spent three years redesigning and re-engineering the keyboard from the ground up, and we didn't think that, oh, people might eat over their computers.
Dude, do you, Doc, did you take your monkey spanker and put it over the top of your keyboard there or something?
No, no, I got this free at the last Macworld. There's no crumbs in my keyboard.
It's a flexible rocket polisher, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. The funny thing is, it's for Final Cut, and I jumped to Premiere so long ago that it doesn't do me any good, but it keeps the crumbs out of my keyboard. But actually, I don't eat when I use my keyboard. It's just a thing from since I was a kid. It's just not something that you do. Like, I don't let people eat in my car either. Like, I just don't get that concept. But, of course, we working in a repair shop, you'd be surprised at the amount of Cheeto dust and shit you find in people's computers.
Right. So why didn't Apple account for this in their 3 years?
No, Apple shouldn't have to design because people are irresponsible. You should never be eating next to your keyboard. It's just not a thing.
Apple's customer profile is still people who live with their mom. Come on.
Whoa.
And eat Cheetos.
Chuck, is that your mom's basement or your office?
This is my office. Earlier on with Mueller's home. Now I want to have a whinge about iOS 11 because I do weeks where it's like I do nothing but ride on trains, or I do nothing but editing, and then I do other weeks where I do nothing but driving. And the last 2 weeks I've done nothing but driving. I'm driving everywhere, and I want to recommend the History of England podcast. It is brilliant. It is really, really good. I've been really, really enjoying it up and down the highways and byways of Britain as I've been driving around for the last 2 weeks. But what it's highlighted for me is a problem with the podcast app and iOS 11 in that it doesn't. I had a steering wheel, and on there I had an advance button for next track and previous track. And that stopped working under iOS 11 now. Nothing allows me to do next track and previous track. And also, the podcast application, if you're trying to find an episode, before it allowed you to choose oldest to newest, which was never the default, which I couldn't work out. Now the default is newest to oldest, and which makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Nope.
And
you can still change that.
I can't find how to change it. Give me the education on how to change it, because I cannot.
I got to look it up, but I change it all the time because I'm in the same boat.
And
but I know
the problem
you can change
is that when you go back to all episodes, it goes back to, if you've played an episode that's right at the very end of the chain, it goes back to that episode rather than going back to the last one that you played, which is way back at the start, because I'm starting the podcast from 2011. It's awful.
I hate the podcast app with passion.
Yeah,
I hate it. I hate it. And I love podcasts so much. I probably listen to about 6-7 hours a day. And I was using Marco's one, and then Marco went to something like $9 a month or something stupid. Whatever it was irritating. So I gave that up and switched to Castro. And Castro is flawless. And I think it was like $4. And it's the best. It syncs well. You can actually go to castro.fm on the browser if you don't have your device with you one day or something, whatever you want to listen from the browser. Like, I can't use the podcast app anymore. It's so irritating. It just doesn't work right. The hell with that thing.
Yeah, it never worked right, in my opinion.
Oh, Adam's looking for a truck. What? No.
Yeah, no, he's not. He's not here.
Oh, crotch shot.
The dog was going crazy, so I just wanted to double check.
We're going to be podcasting. Some dude's going to come in and grab Adam by the eyes and put a hood over him and pull him into the corner. And he's like, oh, that was just the dog was waiting for UPS. Yeah, it was the wrong guy.
He's about a quarter of a mile away now.
My point wasn't about the podcast app necessarily in isolation. What I'm saying is there was a statement made by Adam a few weeks ago that Apple are not paying attention to the details. And I think that iOS 11 is almost Vista-ish, if you like, in terms of the iOS stuff that's gone on. It is they've dropped the ball on detail. I just feel
so
that.
Support for you, Ewan, though, before we get too far away from this. So if you go into the podcast app and you go into the library section and then tap on the podcast you want to control the sort order for, there's a little ellipsis. I can never remember how you say that. You know, the dot, dot, dot button.
Library, yeah.
You tap on library. You tap on the show you want to adjust the settings for. You tap on the little ellipses icon. Then you tap on settings. This is what I have the problem with. And then you tap on episode order under custom.
Oh, I got it now, yeah.
See, so this is the Microsoft effect that I talk about, where you bury like settings that people you used to have like one level deep suddenly are like 20 levels deep. And yeah. It's like, why? You know, this is like something people want to control, but I've got to go digging. And you've not only that, you've moved it from where it was like two taps before. And now, how many taps was that? That was like five or six.
And I've got to do it for each podcast. I can't do it
globally.
Well,
you can do it universally, too. I think you do that in the main settings.
I'm not positive. I looked in the main settings for the podcast app, and I couldn't find it at all.
Okay.
You have to do it on each individual podcast.
I've seen it somewhere.
I mean, this is driving me mad from the start, because it makes no sense why the default is to play from newest to oldest. Well, I mean, what moron even thought that should be the right way around?
Right.
LMNO.
That's true. A lot of the apps will do that, too. They'll start you at newest to oldest. And it's like, if you want to play catch-up, I want to start at the back.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I can see an argument, but I mean... If you're starting with a podcast that has been running for, I don't know, like Adam's, for years and years and years, you don't want to start at the beginning.
You don't even want to start listening, period, but I do, just because he's my friend.
Part of the reason for, at least for episodic shows, they added those new episode tags, so your season tags, so you can define seasons and then you can subscribe to or just start listening at a particular season, and it's going to start with that season.
Yeah, I think you can even define whether to start at the beginning of the season or just show the latest one.
I would like the XML tags to work in a manner that, like, say I want to listen to BTN. I can make it just only send me the shows with, like, Chuck or Don or somebody that knows what the hell they're talking about and ignore the rest.
Yeah. You don't even want to listen to shows with Chuck. Chuck hasn't said much on this show, I admit, but that's because you, Doc, have you noticed how much more you talk when you're awake?
It's your fault, man.
No, it's
you
not
guys,
me. It was your god doing the flapping.
No, you guys changed this stupid time to save some daylight. There's no damn daylight to save. It rains every day in the UK that I understand. Yes. So, like, what the frick is the point of moving the damn clock and making me wake up at 4?
No, but Doc, we can't tell because we're all wearing bowler hats.
Well. I want to see you in a bowler hat, Ewan. I want to see that.
So do I. And I was looking for a size 8 bowler hat for my Run DMC costume, and I couldn't find one.
Right, well, you're doing the cool things. My mission will be to get a bowler hat superimposed on my head here. There we go.
Well, I don't think we're going to get a live delivery. The guy just drove past the house in his way down the other way.
No.
It's because your dog scared him off.
UPS, you mothers.
Yeah, he's about half a mile now south of me. He's moved further away.
He's going to ring your doorbell at 10 p.m. tonight and go, I'm sorry, mate. I went past your place. I hadn't realized.
He's watching the live stream is what he's doing.
Were you waiting for this?
Pulling Adam's chain.
This podcast is brought to you by UK2. We used to have a graphic, but I can't find it on the screen. If you'd like anything for the web, then please support them because they support us. And thank you very much to them for doing it. And also, don't forget to support Hoyer as well. Go down to your local opticians and say, excuse me, to do Hoyer lenses. And if they say no, then say, oh, that's a shame, and walk away. Bad luck. They missed out on sale. And if you'd like to know anything about the Uniku glasses, the ones that I'm going to be getting soon, or you'd like to know about just lenses for replacement spectacles, which is what these are with me, or the Avantech system, then go to podcast@hoyer.co.uk and you can find out loads, loads more. And a special thank you to a few people this week quite a lot of people actually, who've converted over from Patreon to the subscription system through PayPal. If you go to britishtechnetwork.com/subscriptions, then you can get a $5, a $10, or a $20 subscription, which makes you a bronze, a silver, or a gold member. And as a gold member or silver member or bronze member, there will be special offers available only for you. So there's loads and loads of stuff coming your way. We've got a couple of brand new shows that are going to start off soon. The Hello World show is going to kick in. We're also thinking about doing a home automation show with Rob, Activate Communications, or Activate Computing, who are the people. He came up last week and did the alarm for the place, which is unreal. It's really cool. And his philosophy is, if you've got to talk to your home to get it to do something, then it's fitted wrong. And he showed me some of the projects that he's done, and it's unreal. It's just like the sun track rounds by the house, and the blinds automatically move out to maintain the room in shade and then go back in as the sun goes past.
And shut up!
And I'm just like, unreal. There is.
That's cool.
Some of the automation he showed me last week that he's put into places is incredible. I couldn't get my breath. I mean, I'm into the Alexa stuff, and I say it, and the guy who comes to fix me boiler, Chris, he's not a techie, and he's like, oh, it's like magic. But I was like that with Rob last week when he showed me. So hopefully we're going to get the home show running with Rob, and maybe Patrice can come on as well as a developer, you know, working towards HomeKit and that kind of thing. But
that would be cool.
We'll have a bit of a discussion about all the things we can potentially do with the home, with home automation. We'll have I'm thinking about maybe having a tier thing. So we start off with some of the low-level stuff you can do, like buying a Google Home or something like that, or a Home Mini, and then going up right to the very top of the stuff that that Rob does for people, where you know, their swimming pool emerges out from under the lawn and that kind of stuff, to heat up in the sun and go back when it's cool with the blanket over it. We'll do spider competition next week, because we haven't had any time this week. I've been running around like a blue ass fly. So starting us off with the cool things, here we go, Adam.
All right, so I see what this UPS guy is doing. Just last update, he's going to all the commercial, like, strip malls is what he's doing. That he just went to the one that's south of me now, so he's been hitting all the commercials deliveries.
Yeah, they have to deliver by 11:30 for commercial packages.
Yep, so that's what he's up to. So my cool thing is actually a cool little thing for messages. And it's from the folks over at Prisma Labs. Do you guys remember they had the Prisma photo editor that can, like, turn your photos into all kinds of different art styles, and it uses artificial intelligence and machine learning to make that happen?
Right.
They have an app called Sticky AI. I know, it's an unfortunate name. But what it is that it uses similar machine learning, artificial intelligence technology to let you create your own stickers for messages from your camera. So you can take a picture of yourself or something else, and then it'll help you knock it out, and you can add text to it. And you can add it, and then you can use that as a sticker in not only the Messages app in iOS, but you can also use it in Messenger and Snapchat and WhatsApp and whatever your favorite app that supports that is. So it's just a cool, fun little thing, and you can even create animated stickers if you want to do those. And then they'll show up. There is a Messages app part of it, and you can access those and use them as stickers inside your Messages app. So you don't have to use someone else's stickers. You can make your own.
And it says it's free, but has it got in-app purchases or?
No, I think it's totally free. That's, I don't remember seeing any in-app free purchases.
That's awesome. I like that. Good app.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. Good stuff. Who's next? Doc, your cool thing.
Oh, okay. So unfortunately, mine ain't going to come off as cheap as Adam's, but this app is called Field Monitor, and something that I've been kind of looking for a hot minute. But basically, it allows you to use an iOS device, either an iPhone or an iPad, and I can't wait to see what this looks like with the 10 with a nice screen. If you have a GH4 or a Sony Alpha or you know, any one of the cameras that has a sort of wireless iOS control function built in, this will give you like a real field monitor experience, and normally not what's built into those apps. Like the built-in Sony app, for instance, it's good, but it was kind of designed figuring that my mom or my sister might use it. It's not designed for a professional guy that's looking for bars and charts or histogram or, you know, like lookup tables and all of that stuff. It's sort of not in there. But if you use this film monitor app, it basically uses their sort of built-in connection, and then it steals it and applies real pro-level stuff. So you can kind of see your waveform monitors. You can get in there and adjust your ISOs and everything. Like, you can target your focus. Like, you could do so much more with this than the way what comes with, say, the GH5 or, you know, the Sony Alphas or some of the other cameras that have that sort of built-in Wi-Fi thing, Olympus, all of the above.
There is
a camera compatibility list. I forgot where it was. Look on the fact sheets, and they give you like sort of an example of what they go through, and it has like a list of all of the cameras on the FAQ. FAQ. But yeah, it's amazing, and we've been using it for a while with the A7s. And one other thing that's really cool, if you happen to have a Teradek Cube transmitter, which I do, it will work with the Teradek Cube transmitter software as well.
It doesn't do the FS5, so that's me switched off then. That's a shame.
Yeah, well, I think the FS5, it's sort of designed to use a real, real level monitor. This was kind of built off the DSLR stuff.
I just thought it'd be interesting and cool. But I have got an A7S, which I'm selling, actually, if anyone would like to buy it, which will do it. So there you go. Good pick, mate, like that. I'll need to look further into that, definitely. The Panasonic range is massive, though, looking at the compatible Panasonic cameras.
Because he has Panasonic, I think. I think he has Panasonic, and then he added the Sony stuff because all the Sony people kept yelling at him because the Sony app is horrible in comparison to the Panasonic app. I have a GH5 and the A7s, and the GH app is just better, but I prefer to shoot on the A7s.
Yeah, A6300, A7II, A7R2, and A7S, S2 are all supported, which I've got the 7S2.
Anyway, it's $20, and I believe it's from the UK, if I remember correctly.
Excellent job. Thank you, mate. Patrice, do
you have? My app is called, or my pick is called Mattermost. As a developer, or as someone who is also running a lot of projects, I have been really on the hunt for alternatives to Slack. I mean, Slack is fine. It works. The integrations are, for the most part, pretty cool. But if you're using more than, let's say, the basic version, then it gets really, really expensive really fast. So I was looking for something that I can host myself, because I have my own servers. I know how to do that, and that works. And I've been looking into RocketChat, which is also also basically a Slack clone. But I heard about Mattermost and I tried it, and it's really, really cool. I mean, they have really great apps. It is, compared to RocketChat, it is a... well, there's a company behind it, so they're developing it, and you know that it's not going to go away or, I don't know, get abandoned. But other than that, it actually works almost, almost like Slack. They don't have the integrations yet, at least not as well integrated into the solution as Slack does it. But other than that, I mean, it works flawlessly. It's fast, UI-wise, it's great. And I think I'm going to switch to it because, well, it works, and I can even have multiple teams on my one server. So this is really, really easy and really cool. And it was really easy to install, by the way. So it wasn't hard.
Can you do more files, more punters, etc. as well, or not?
All of that, files, history. I mean, you're running that on your own server, so whatever you need. They have enterprise editions that cost you some money if you need enterprise features, like, I don't know, single sign on and all of that. But if you don't need that, then basically it's free.
Bums me out that multi-factor authentication is only under enterprise.
Yeah, that's a bummer, but I mean, I think it would be possible to integrate that even on your own if you wanted to, because, well, you can.
Yeah.
The code is not that hard to change.
Cool, good pick, mate, like that. Go on, Adam.
I had a question. So is the enterprise not self-hosted? So is this team edition the only one that's self-hosted, or
no? You basically all of them are self-hosted. You get a license file and then you host it yourself. The Enterprise Edition, user. I mean, does scaling and all of that. If you need more than just one server, one thing for the team. You can have multiple teams on the same server. So I have right now my server set up two teams, basically my own command center, basically where I get all the notifications and news and all of that, and another one for Deconstruct.
Cool. And where you get to feel like a James Bond villain.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I clicked the wrong button. There we go. Doc, what the hell's Doc doing? You taking pictures?
I'm doing Adam's pick, yo. This is off the chain. Adam's pick was free. Mine was $20. This is almost as cool.
Excellent. Chuck, you've been very patient all afternoon. I do apologize. What's your cool thing, mate?
Nope, I'm going to go with something that's a little boring, but it's something I use every day, and it's this. This is a Seagate 4 terabyte USB 3 external drive. And like I say, it's not very exciting, but it's 4 terabytes. It's $110, so it's a bit of an expensive pick, but that's $22.50 a terabyte for portable drive. Okay, Doc's holding something up in the chat. I use this because I have it partitioned four ways. So basically, I have four hard drives here. That means I can have backups on it. I also have a couple partitions for video editing. And it's everybody needs more storage. Everybody wants more storage. But at $110 for this, and I plug it in, and of course, it's not SSD fast, but it's definitely fast enough even to do video editing. So it's a whole lot better than buying that MacBook Touch Bar and trying to upgrade the 2 terabyte SSD and spending a ridiculous amount of money on it. So if you're looking to buy a new laptop, this is something that you really should check out. There are external SSDs that are fine, but they're still a little pricey. This not so much, and it's great for just carrying around bulk information in a very small compact package. It does come in a 5 terabyte size, but that's a little too pricey. The price per terabyte goes way up. So at 4, I'm quite happy with it.
You can boot from an external drive. I used to boot from a 1 terabyte external drive via USB, which worked brilliantly.
Don't misunderstand. We've all gotten used to SSDs. So if you boot from it, it's not going to be that fast, but it's absolutely workable. And it's one of the ways I like to test new versions of software, so that I will install the new OS, like in this case High Sierra, on one of the partitions, boot from that, and then I can check all my other hardware, my software with it to see what's compatible and what's not before I make the big jump and upgrade the SSD.
Good one. Good pick, mate. Like that. James and Will. Will's been very quiet. Is he all right?
No, I think he's gone, so I think he's hurt his back or something.
Why have I hurt? He's hurt his back falling off your chair. He's going to sue you now, don't you?
Mate, the chair's in two bits. It was a bit of a fall. AirPods stopped working as well, so I need to throw my Mac against the wall and reconsider my options.
People keep asking me if Will's back on his feet, but clearly you can't say yes now then.
No, he's gone.
He just
passed me the AirPod and went, that's it. I've had enough.
He's down complaining about you and me to your wife.
He's man down. Oi! Behave yourself.
Have you got a cool thing for us?
I have. Yeah, sometimes those apps that are really simple, the ones you seem to pull out every now and then, are the best ones sometimes. I've had this for a while. It's just called Easy Eraser. I put it in the in the chat rooms, have a little look. It's free, and it's by a company called Square Penguin. And I actually use this quite a bit. You know, sometimes when you've got like things in the scene, and you just want to rub your finger over it on your iPhone, and it turns it red, and then it will just remove it, and you can change the size of the masking brush. It's really quite cool. It's simple. It's free. It's worth a look at and put into your little into your iPhone or even your iPad. It's just really good. Just obviously, it's like content aware, like in Photoshop. Same as content away, you kind of highlight the object with your finger, squiggle over it, press remove, and it will show you, it says, do you want to keep this or let the computer use some clever machine learning and try again. So if you're aware with content aware brush in Photoshop, that's what this does. It's absolutely free. It's a great little app.
You don't have to be that accurate, do you?
You don't. It's really good. I've got lots of lines, telegraph lines around us. So sometimes I'll shoot a really beautiful sky on my iPhone, and I'll just have this little black line running across it. So I open up the app, just quickly import it, drag my finger around it, press erase, and it's gone. Honestly, you really can't tell. Obviously it depends on how good the cameras are set, but good job it does. But for me, it's quick and easy, and it's really rather good. I don't even know how I found it. And those little beauties I seem to use more often than not. I don't mention it to anybody.
No, that's a brilliant app. I like that idea, because there's a lot of stuff you take on your iPhone that you could really do with just tidying up a tiny bit. And you've got to chuck it into Photoshop and to do the extraction and the aware delete. And that's very impressive for an iPhone to do that with just such a rough edge, you know, from the finger.
Yeah.
Doc has sent us through a sticker from Adam's pick, which I can't put up. So...
But you can. That's not the actual word.
Well, yeah, but it's close enough. And I can't. It's kind of cool. It is kind of cool.
Okay, let me edit it fast. Can I take 2 seconds?
Yeah, yeah. No.
Damn it, Ewan.
I did. Would put a bottle hat on me while you're at it, please. my cool thing is,
put
the,
what?
Is the History of England podcast. Now, even the Americans are going to love this. I promise you.
Oh, I've heard great things about this.
So, this guy does a podcast, and it starts when the Romans leave the UK shores, and the UK went into a massive amount of turmoil. For several hundred years, we had no coinage. We had absolutely no mechanism of doing anything other than bartering, because the Romans had left, and that was it. They just left a turmoil that was behind us. And it's about how we slowly came back to it, and it goes through all the Anglo-Saxons, it goes through the Angles, the Dutch invasion, not the Dutch invasion, what are we talking about? The Viking invasion, Canute, Ethelred, all that kind of stuff. I'm at the moment, I'm up to 1066, so I'm on to the Norman invasion. He's got 243 episodes to get up to Anne Boleyn dying. So he's only at Henry VIII after 240 episodes. It's a slow burn. But if you're into your history... it is brilliantly done. His voice is quite engaging. It's not bad. There's a few episodes where I switched off and had to rewind them and play them again. But generally speaking, he really does hold me. And I've really, really enjoyed listening to this last few weeks, doing an awful lot of driving. The History of England podcast, it is well worth it. And there's tons of extra stuff that he does as a resource to it. So he's talking about the origin of names. So ing in a name means... people of, and ham means village or area of, he's got links through to the naming conventions and the website of the people that do that. I can't remember the name, and also he's got maps and stuff of the different political maps of the era that evolve as you're listening to the podcast. So what he's saying you can go and look at and listen to and see the difference of. So I thoroughly recommend it. It is brilliant. And you can dip into it. You could go back 3 months later, if you like. And he does it for a living as well. So I fully intend to chuck him a donation, because he's kept me very much entertained in the last few weeks driving up and down the motorways of Britain. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Where can we get a hold of you? Where can we get
Adam.
Adam.
That guy. You can find me over at MacCast.com, also MacCast on iTunes, and why freaking she is interrupting me, I have no idea. So MacCast.com, MacCast on iTunes, and pretty much MacCast all over social media.
I do apologize.
And in about a minute at the front door, right?
Yeah. I do apologize, Adam, because Doc sent me his thing through. And it's dragged the wrong thing. I'm going to have to edit now. It's dragged the wrong picture over from messages. I see it as shit.
I sent you the censored version.
And I dragged it over, and it put
he
the other
grabbed
one
the
in.
The wrong one.
I've just done it again. So I drag over forking, and it puts in bleeding. It doesn't put
the other way around.
The other, yeah, oh, bollocks. Where are you, Patrice?
Every week here on the Mac Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. Chuck, thank you for coming along, sir. I know that you give up your lunch hours to come and do this show with us, so I do appreciate it. Where can we get you, sir?
It's always a pleasure, Ewan. MacVoices.com is where you can find and link to everything. And I'm on Twitter as @ChuckJoyner.
Your heating's down at the moment, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, my heating's down at the moment as well. And I got my boiler engineer sent me a text this morning. He said, is it convenient to pop round now? And I'm like, dude, you're coming around to fix me boiler. It's always going to be convenient in the winter to come and fix me boiler.
Exactly.
And last but by no means least, James, where are you, sir?
What? You can find me on YouTube, on RenderBots, and I do drone stuff and help people with their little videos and stuff.
And
so
tutorials.
If you want to learn how to do motion graphics and 3D stuff, hit me up there. Thank you very much indeed. Or at James Rickards on Twitter.
Where's Greeny Boy, the little Stropmeister?
Well, to be honest with you, we're obviously going to Rome on Sunday, aren't we? So he's probably packing his bags.
Greeny's European tour.
Hey, next week, you never know, we'll see if we can't arrange something there.
You better be, yeah. How long are you going for then?
4 or 5 days, I think. I'll be back here, won't he, by then?
Is it just you and Greeny?
Yeah. Boys trip.
The missus has let you go to Rome. Holy crap.
Say no more.
Oh, well, you can get Will Green at British Mac on Twitter. He's got a Slack room as well, which he never goes in, and he comes in our Slack room once in a million years. And he did the news show this week, so if you haven't picked him up, go and listen to the news show all week. And Greeny is on there, wittering away about all the news of the week. Kyle is back next week, though, so if you can't stand Will, don't worry, Kyle's back. And if you're missing Will, just write an email, because Will can do Thursdays, because Kyle can't do Thursdays. So there you go. My name's Uranking. Get me at Uranking on Twitter. We'll be back again next week for both shows. There's no big show tonight because we've had a guest meltdown. But we'll all be back next week with no question and having all the usual fun. Have a great week. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, and you can find me on the Solid Podcast at solid.fm and all over the internet. You just totally skipped me.
Because he put his face up there and he forgot.
Oh, man. I put his face up. That's right. Because iMessage caused me editing, I forgot about you completely, dude. You know I would never.
Anyway, the reason why it was important this week is I'm asking for some help. I'm going to put together my first annual Solid Podcast holiday gift giving guide. So I'm looking for recommendations, sort of like we do on Cool Things, because I'm curating this cool list. And last year I put it in the Slack room and everybody missed it. So I'm going to put it back in the Slack room. This time we know that it's there. If you have something that you want vetted or you have things you're looking for, we're going to have the holiday gift guide chat in the Slack on BTN chat, and then the post will exist on my network on Solid FM, and if Ewan lets me, we'll cross post some of them to the BTN. So I want to put together the holiday gift giving guide. Started with covering things like wireless charging, because everyone's going to need one now, in nice cases, or subscription services you shan't miss out on, or just whatever. Good home automation stuff, good speakers, headphones, the things that we always go over every Christmas. People are trying to find, like, what's a good headphone that's not going to kill my kids' ears? You know, what's out there? I want to put those lists together. So send me your recommendations at Doc Rock on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everywhere. Or you can just send me messages to solid.fm and we'll get that holiday gift guide started going.
Would you like some recommendations from Santa?
Yes! I forgot about Drunk Santa. Yes!
I've just dialed in. I've been listening to the show while I was on. And I thought Hank Kelly Gamont was back.
When? Where? Well, what's that?
That's all I could hear was you on the bloody show.
Oh, he's smart.
Sads couldn't stay, sorry, he's had to go. Sads will be back in December with recommendations with Crap for Christmas as normal on the new show as well, so there you go. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Au revoir. That was Doc, just in case I forgot him again.
Oh, blimey.